Watcher, and a very warm welcome to this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz with me, Mike Wynn. We're going to start with a number called Last Dance as a gentle intro. And that's from a 94 recorded Epicure album called Be Yourself, led by drummer Wynard Harper. In fact, his very first album as a leader. It's a piano-based drums trio with the occasional guest. The trio first, Reuben Brown piano, and he wrote that song, Last Dance. Buster Williams bass always been one of jazz's most consistent bassists. That sounds like faint praise. No, it's not meant that way. And of course, Wynard Harper drums. The guest on Last Dance is trumpeter Eddie Henderson. Other guests are David Fathead Newman, Don Braden, and Antonio Hart. The liner notes call that song, quote, a gorgeous and unabashedly romantic tune highlighted by Eddie Henderson's gentle muted trumpet and a lovely solo by the great Buster Williams, unquote. Exactly right, although I wouldn't have used the word unabashedly. Next, Fee-Fi Fo-Fum. Fee-Fi Fo-Fum, a song written by Wayne Shorter, but played here by pianist Joyce Collins, with Andy Simpkins bass and Ralph Penland drums, recorded at the Mad Hatter Studios in LA, April 1990. Last time we played Joyce Collins, we talked about her coaching Jeff and Beau Bridges for their film The Fabulous Baker Boys. Other notable achievements of Ms. Collins include fronting a quartet for the live recording sessions, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, and making the occasional on-screen appearance. She was also the first woman elected to serve on the Musicians Union Board of Directors, the first woman to conduct a show band in Las Vegas, and her trio was once the opening act for Bill Crosby. Joyce may well have some stories about that. Let's squeeze a vocal in. Preacher comes
forward to hear the word brought down from on high from a country preacher. Country preacher clears his throat. Say, brothers and sisters, we are gathered here this morning to give praise to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Oh. The end of the day was
The Benediction, also called Country Preacher. The music was by Joe Zawinul, lyrics by Diane Reeves. And Diane Reeves is the singer here, with a stellar cast to support her. Roy Hargrove, trumpet, Julian Cannonball Adley and Ron Blake on sopranos. And it wasn't often that Cannonball played the soprano rather than his more usual alto. Everett Harp was on the alto, George Duke electric piano, Chris Severin bass and Billy Kilson drums. Recorded for a Blue Note album, LA 93, and the album's called Quiet After the Storm. You might well now be rather puzzled, given that Cannonball died in 75, so this 93 recording is obviously using one of his previous recordings of that song and then overdubbing it. A piano solo next. Homage to Chopin, or is it homage to Chopin? You pays your money, as they say. That was Jack Riley on a Yamaha grand piano, recorded for Revelation Records in April 81. Where was it recorded, you ask? At pianist Frank Sullivan's house, some 25 miles west of Gainesville, Florida, now you ask. I could also mention that they used two Electro-Voice 664 dynamic cardioid microphones, but that will be way too much detail. This LP is called Brinksman. Next, one of Charlie Parker's best compos, but listen out for the magnificent bass player. recorded live in Holland at the Burr en Hofstede in Lorraine. The leader is the Belgian Toots Thielemans. It's April 75, but that was Wim Overgaard on guitar, Toots limiting himself to the harmonica, Rob Frankel keyboards, Bruno Castellucci drums. There was a long and perhaps a little tedious drum solo by Bruno. I chopped that out. Just looking to my producers to check I can say tedious on the radio, and they don't seem to care at all. So apologies, Bruno. Drum solos are usually terrific live, but can be, I'll say it again, tedious on record. But we must talk about the bassist. He is Danish, of course. Yes, Niels Henning Orsted Pedersen. This is a Polydor LP called Live 2, the number 2. Toots produced two LPs that month, the other one being given the title Live. Slightly different lineup. We heard Charlie Parker's My Little Suede Shoes. The Shouts next.
Thank you.
Les McCann's second LP as a leader. His first was called The Truth, this one The Shout, and we've just heard the title song of this Feb 1960 Pacific Jazz album, recorded live at The Bit in Hollywood. The volume varies hugely, so I hope you heard it all. The bass solos are almost inaudible, so I fiddled a little. Les McCann piano, Leroy Vinegar bass and Ron Jefferson drums. I love Les McCann's early bluesy work, but if you're buying any albums of his, be warned that in the 70s he went through a dreadfully, can I say dreadfully? Yes, I can, apparently. Dreadfully electronic, funky, blah-blah phase. Stick with his early stuff and you'll be fine. Regular listeners will know we often feature guitarist Bill Frisell. Here's a short interlude. Bill Frisell, short and sweet, his own compo, Pretty Stars Were Made to Shine. Greg Lights on steel guitar, David Pilch bass, Kenny Wollaston drums. Recorded 2001, and the album's called Blues Dream. It's Ellington, and the Duke will intro the song.
Thank you. And now Manhattan Murals. Manhattan Murals is not a new tune. It's sort of a takeoff on an old tune. It's what we do is to try to interpret from the perspective of the writer, A Train. So we take A Train and try to give you various Manhattan scenes, starting from up at Washington Heights, 207th Street, and right down through the island, Manhattan Murals.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's where the A train leaves Manhattan, goes under the East River and on to Brooklyn.
A rather similar problem with the volume, either very loud or very quiet. That was the Ellington Strayhorn compo, Manhattan Murals, based, as the Duke said, on Stray's classic Take the A Train, travelling north to south from Harlem to the Manhattan seafront. This song was only recorded twice, to my knowledge. This version, December 48, live at Cornell University. And the only other version in my collection is from the previous month, November 48, which was at the famous Carnegie Hall in New York. And that was it. Duke and Strays were on to their next project. But you feel Manhattan Murals could have been developed into something special. Trumpeter Al Killian getting a rare solo spot. Here's a terrific version of Oscar Pettiford's Bohemia After Dark. Bohemia After Dark, played by, well, you always have to excuse the musos when the marketing department dreams up an embarrassing title for the trio. This time it's the Magical Trio. They made two albums called Magical Trio 1 and, unsurprisingly, Magical Trio 2. Logical enough, I suppose. And yes, they were truly magical, but just the musos' names would have told us that. James Williams, piano, Ray Brown, bass, and Elvin Jones, drums on Magical Trio 2, which we've just heard. November 87 in New York. On the first album, it's drummer Art Blakey instead of Elvin Jones. Number two is actually listed as having James Williams as the leader. This was Elvin's first playing of Bohemia After Dark for over 30 years, and he makes up for lost time. And this was in a single take. Oscar Pettiford wrote the song whilst leading his own group at Cafe Bohemia on Barrow Street in Greenwich Village, New York, in the mid-50s. This next LP has the title The Many Facets of Rusty Dedrick, The Many Friends of Rusty Dedrick. Lucky man to have both facets and friends. Rusty Dedrick, composer, arranger, trumpeter, flugelhornist, bandleader, an all-round good egg. Those are obviously his facets. His friends included Teddy Charles vibes, Dick Hyman piano, Irby Green trombone, Mel Lewis drums. To give you just a sample, this is a 22-piece big band. Got lots of friends, says Rusty. The soloists on Valencia were Irby Green, John LaPorta tenor, Al Klink tenor, and of course Rusty himself, recorded in New York in the mid-60s. Regular listeners will know we often feature guitarist Bill Frisell. His part of a long track, and it's a song you'll recognise very quickly. Thank you. arguably James Bond's greatest theme song, Goldfinger, written, it says here on this March 2016, Village Vanguard recorded ECM album, written by John Barry, and we all know he wrote the music, but I never knew that Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricus wrote the lyrics, Bill Frisell guitar, Thomas Morgan bass. Another big band. Dick Grove Orchestra, Grove's first album as a leader, one of only two, though, the second being 9 years later. But Dick was really an educator. His Dick Grove School of Music had amongst its teaching staff Henry Mancini and Lalo Schifrin, and its pupils included the likes of Michael Jackson, Barry Manilow and Linda Ronstadt. But he was also an extremely good jazz pianist, and that swinging song Nighthawk was his own compo. I'll just pick out a few of the musos: Paul Horn, Bob Edmondson, Mike Barone, Bill Perkins, and the main soloist, Joe Burnett, from the Kenton and Herman bands. We've just got time for our closing song. Trombonist Mike Barone played on that last song, and here he is again with his brother Gary on flugelhorn as the Barone Brothers in December 79 in Santa Monica, California. Mike's compo, Song for Our Father. But then Mike sits out, so it's just Gary and the rhythm section. Teddy Saunders piano, John Hurd bass, Shelly Mann drums, Alex Acuna percussion. Song for Our Father. Thank you. As always, huge thanks for joining me, Mike Wynn, and I sincerely hope you've tapped a toe or two. Also, that you'll be back with me next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Be well.